I was actually a little ashamed, but inwardly delighted to have achieved this, to have overcome the hardest part of my purification. Now we had the joy of being able to receive other garments. They were given to us and explained that we should put them on. We were also shown the place where we were allowed to stand. So there was a celebration and joy that so many of these poor souls were now being raised to a better position. We were no longer among these very poor souls. Of course I was happy too, because now I had the feeling that I really looked different. I also felt much lighter. I believe that at that moment it would have been no difficulty for me to lift the largest stone that had once given me so much trouble. Now I felt very light and I was happy and content. Now the High Spirit explained to us, you no longer have to go back to the community house and work there, you can go with your other brothers and sisters. And you can now be in the front rows at this celebration. We all want to be happy that you have come this far and have overcome the hardest part, that you have purified yourselves somewhat and have come to a better understanding, that we may have you in our alliance. Then it was explained to us that we should not believe that we could now devote ourselves to doing nothing. Instead, new work would await us, but work that we would enjoy more. We would now also come into much more contact with the higher spirits of heaven. Because if higher tasks were to be fulfilled, one must also have contact with higher spirits. So we were all extremely happy. But it was not just this one high spirit who spoke, others came along who told us about heaven. And angels came who sang and played, to our joy and to the glory of God and to the glory of the King. That was my great, impressive experience in the spiritual world. And from that point on, the path was made much easier for me. I could go to school, I could understand what was explained to us. I became keen in learning, and I remained keen in everything I did. So I tried to fulfill my task and I am doing it to this day. So, dear brothers and sisters, I have been able to give you an insight into my personal experience, into what I went through after my return home. It is something that not only I have experienced, but thousands and thousands of brothers and sisters experience the same thing again and again, namely all those who are burdened in the same way or are equally poor in their soul. Now, I am fulfilling my task in God's plan of salvation, and I pronounce God's blessing on all of you. May you also feel God's peace, so that this joy, this happiness, comes over all of you too. May you fulfill your tasks in your world, so that you too are lifted up. So we want to rejoice in you, for you shall not enter the kingdom of God as poor souls. God bless you. Joseph. God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, do you have any questions about the explanations that have been given to you? Dear Joseph, I have noticed that the various stages of this sister's purification were actually quite hard. Is the reason for this being that she lacked love in her life? Joseph, yes. You see, if you are hard on your fellow human beings, if you have no understanding for them, then from a spiritual point of view that is a very serious offense. Dear Joseph, it is hard to imagine that this sister, who was the head of an orphanage, did not come up with the idea of A.A. being more loving towards the children when she was in contact with them. Was she never moved by the fate of these children? Joseph, yes, dear brothers and sisters, I have to remind you again and again, if you go back 150 years, you would mostly meet people who do not have such sensitivity. Today people are much more refined, much more understanding in this respect. This is also due to their development, they have worked their way up. People 150 years ago and even more could be very, very hard and rough. Because back then, earning a living was also very hard. Nature, so to speak, was hard on them, and so they believed that they, as humans, had to be just as hard on their loved ones. Dear Joseph, then we can assume that this story also dates back a long time, more than 100 years. Joseph, yes. Dear Joseph, Madeline told us how she and her siblings tried to get to the front rows at the festival. Did they want to do this in order to be able to absorb more of the radiance of God's angels? Joseph, that too. and they wanted or hoped that they would come into contact with these higher spirits or that they would be able to speak to them. Because each of these poor people seeks help from the higher ones. But they have to endure this deprivation. They are told, you can see that in heaven there is not only constant work, there are also many beautiful, happy celebrations. People leave work to go to a happy celebration, that is heaven with its joys. This is how they want to make it clear to these, let's say, poor souls that they will take part in such celebrations if they work hard to do their work. But of course they cannot be in the front rows, but this should encourage them to do their tasks. You should also not assume that everyone is filled with the same zeal. While some are really eager to get the purification over with as quickly as possible and conscientiously do everything, there are very indifferent and negligent brothers and sisters. I thank you, dear Joseph. There is one thing I cannot quite understand, that the spirits in question were asked to carry stones around. That sounds medieval by our standards. Joseph, yes, you know, maybe further explanations would have been necessary to make it clearer to you. In the heavenly spheres these environments are also constantly being changed. You have often been told that this happens in the higher spheres, that they are constantly being changed or redesigned. It is a kind of zeal to build the most beautiful spheres, all this to the glory of God, so that there is always renewed amazement. So you don't always want to admire the same beauty, but the beauty must also be varied and diverse. In these lower spheres, some environments are dissolved over time. Poor souls are also working on this dissolution, let's say, as this sister reported. They can also design their level differently. Because the whole progress is towards making all spheres a little more beautiful, even the lower spheres. This would mean that such a sphere loses some of its hardness, that now, let's say, the purification here is made more pleasant. Of course it was hard and difficult work for these brothers and sisters who had to carry out this work. But these stones that the sister spoke of were not heavy, rather, these brothers and sisters still had so much earthly and burdened about them that they had the feeling that these stones had this heavy weight. But you should not imagine stones as you see them in your world, let's say such shapeless, dull or colorless stones. Rather, these stones in the world beyond are made of fine spiritual material, they look completely different to the material that you have. And these beds that these brothers and sisters have laid out with them are intended to beautify them. This sphere can later serve spiritual beings that are not so heavily burdened. The sphere is, so to speak, beautified for other brothers and sisters who will come in later. Of course, the higher spirit world will then ensure that this particular splendor is also present here and that the plants are accordingly. These lower spirits will not be able to do that, but they will one day do the basic work of change. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I am withdrawing again. May God's blessing accompany you on all your paths. May you all be healthy in body and soul through God's power, through His grace and His love. Greetings from God. Report of the experience of the ascending spirit being Madeline and answers to questions from spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Mar 1 Quarten Caldenstress, Zurich. Template, tape recording. Next case. November 6, 1963, the Stern Albert. The path to the transformation of a feared father. Under the guidance of his children, Albert learns to overcome his desire for dominance and intolerance while looking after heavily indebted siblings. Control Spirit. God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, a spirit is speaking to you by the name of Albert. He will speak of himself and his entire family. May God bless you at this hour. God bless you. Albert. God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, my name is Albert. I was 83 years old. My wife died about 10 days before me. She also reached this old age. I will now try to tell you what I experienced in the spiritual realm in the early days. I also want to explain to you that I had a family and had to look after and raise 15 children. I was a strict father. I only became aware that I was too strict in the world beyond, and not in the early days. So I would actually like to start with what I experienced in the world beyond. Three of my children had already entered the spiritual world at an early age, while three other children reached the age of around 50 and thus had returned to the spiritual world not long before us, my wife and I. So I entered the other world. I believed that I had lived as a pious person and had fulfilled my tasks and duties in my family. Since I wanted to be with my wife first and foremost, I paid less attention to the greeting of the divine beings when I went there. Instead, I wanted my wife to be at my side, because we had been together for a long time, she had been a good wife and a good mother. But when I entered the spiritual world and stayed there, I did not see my wife. The angels brought me the news that she was in a beautiful heaven and would descend to me when the time came. I didn't want to understand that, because I had hoped that in heaven you would be with those with whom you had been together your whole life on earth. I asked why my wife wasn't allowed to be with me, and she said to me, "You have truly raised many children, you have fulfilled a great task in the plan of salvation and redemption, you had given many the opportunity to become human, you have thus helped to promote the plan of redemption, you should be credited for that." Well, this being who spoke was a particularly exalted being and explained to me that the greatest task and the greatest sacrifices had probably been accomplished by my wife. I could have also shared in all the merits like the woman, but I had made too many mistakes. And these mistakes consisted primarily in the fact that I was too strict, that the children were afraid of me. But it was not the purpose of the father's duty that the children should look up to their father in fear. One need not fear God either if one has a clear conscience, even less should children among people have to fear their parents because they are too strict with them. They should not live in constant fear of being punished by their parents for every little thing. This fear is not good for the advancement and for the character of a growing person. And so I was told about some cases in which I had been too strict and had punished the children unfairly, instead of being a kind and loving father. And because my wife had borne the greatest burden and fulfilled the tasks in the best possible way, she had also earned the greatest merits in the kingdom of the Lord. The angels told me, "You already have some children in the world beyond, but you are to come into contact with two of them in particular, you will only meet the others later, you will be brought together with them later. They are a son and a daughter with whom you must now spend the purification period, so to speak. In a certain sense they are just as burdened as you. They have not burdened themselves in the same way, but they must live with you or you with them." The two had entered the spirit world a short time before me and, so I was told, they had already made certain preparations for me. So the angel of God led me to them. I had the feeling that I was so close to the earth. I had to consider whether I had really entered another world or whether I was perhaps still on earth and was now living on here as a spirit being, just in another city or in another environment, because everything looked exactly like on earth. There were houses and gardens and we also met other beings and they were dressed so differently and things were as busy as with people. But then I was taught otherwise and it was explained to me, they all have a job, but they don't work for money. They don't have to work so much to be able to support their own family, but they have to work for their own spiritual well-being. And if they earn a lot through their work, then the earnings are distributed. You can earn so much that you not only make a fortune for yourself, but your relatives and even those you think are strangers to also earn something from it. The angel explained it to me like this: among people on earth there is the master who has his workers. The master himself earns the most money from his work. But he also has to pay the workers with what he earns, so everyone, both the master and the workers, live from this earnings. In the spiritual world it is similar, you work for a better, more beautiful life. If you achieve it, you also give others the opportunity to achieve a more beautiful life more quickly, so it is similar to the master and his workers. Only in the spiritual world no money is paid. There is no money here. Then I was led to the son and daughter, to their house where they lived. They greeted me. They knew that I was coming, just as they knew that the mother had entered the spirit world, for they had already come into contact with her. They greeted each other briefly and expressed their joy, but the mother had to leave immediately. The angel had not spoken to me much. He only gave me these explanations and said that I now had to bear the burden of what I had done wrong on earth, and that now, in this place where I was going, I would be given the opportunity to improve my situation somewhat. He also explained that I would continue to be taught, because far too much would come crashing down on me if he wanted to explain to me everything that I really should know. So I should only learn something about this plan of salvation of God slowly. Of course, I immediately thought about it. I was disappointed at first. There was no meeting with my wife. I found myself deeply disappointed and unhappy, because she knew all my peculiarities and she had been at my service, and now I was alone. My daughter and son had taken me into their house with love, and they said to me, "Father, you look good. Do you know what you look like? You are no longer as old as you were, you look like a man of 30 or 40. And I noticed that my son and daughter also looked much younger than when I knew them at the end of their lives. So they said, when you put off your earthly body and enter this world, you become young again, you do not bear the traces of the age you had on earth." But I did think I was feeling a little tired and had the idea that my limbs were still aching and I could not walk so well. But my son and daughter explained to me, that would soon disappear, I would soon feel happy, and I would no longer have any troubles or complaints. Now they led me into the house. We had hardly gathered when a being came to us and was introduced to me. It was a leading spirit of this plane, as they said. This spirit not only presided over these children of mine, but also fulfilled its task in this sphere. So he explained to me that I too was now under his leadership. He would watch over me, he would scold me, but also give me words of comfort if I deserved it. Then he explained that I could still rest a little, but it was not particularly necessary, since my spirit had already had time, on earth, to separate itself from the earthly body, but they would grant me the rest so that I could better adapt to the new circumstances. I was advised to lie down for a while and rest. And this spirit, who was now in charge of all this, said that he would then wake me up. So I slept, I did not know how long. When I woke up I did not care. I had no time, I no longer had a watch, I did not ask how long I had slept, it was all the same to me. But I had the feeling that with this sleep I had lost some of the heaviness, the unease that had enveloped me when I entered this new world. I now felt a little freer. But now the angel came to me and gave me the tasks. He said, "You see, you live with your children, a son and a daughter. They are already familiar with their work, and so we recommend that you do the work together with them for the time being." Then I dared to ask about my wife again. I asked that she would come here too, with all the other children, and that we could continue to live there as a family. But the angel said, "No, you can't do that now. It is a special blessing for you that you can be with your son and your daughter in the beginning. If you carry out your tasks properly, then you will also be able to be with your former life a partner. But for now you cannot share her joy." I was afraid, very afraid, because I was so used to her and she knew all my peculiarities and had always stood by me. Despite these two children, I felt quite lost. I didn't like the idea that I, as a father, should now go with them and do the work with them. I would have much preferred to hear that I had been given a job and that my children had to work with me. But as it was, I had the feeling that I had to obey them, and that was not pleasant for me. Well, there was nothing to object to. I had to go this way. And this spiritual guide said, "Now, first of all, try it with your son. He has the task of descending a little further. For heaven does not end here, it goes on for many distances, up, down, in all directions. Everywhere you will find brothers and sisters, on the one hand those who are extremely happy and blessed, who have a wonderful life, on the other hand those who have not yet found their way. Some fulfill their tasks dutifully, and others are unhappy, they are miserable. And you must go to these unfortunate people, for you have not yet earned the merit to enter the blessed. Instead, you must learn and put aside many of your peculiarities. For these peculiarities that you had and that are still in you prevent you from ascending. What kind of peculiarities these were, that they were not the ones I believed, only became clear to me later. So I was now supposed to go with my son, as I had been told. My son carried a small flame, and I was also offered a small flame. We walked with this flame, or rather I walked next to my son. And he said to me, "Father, hold this little flame carefully." So we went and came, so to speak, from daylight, according to your terms, into darkness. At first it was a mystery to me why we needed a light, because I believed that there was light everywhere in this heavenly world. I soon found out for myself that this is not the case. I did not want to go down so deep. When it had become dark, I asked the sun, "Do we really have to go down any further? Isn't there enough work here?" Because I saw so many, many beings. Some walked busily, and others were quiet in one place, some even sang, others prayed, and others groaned, so, you could see everything. And at first I thought, yes, it is actually the same as in the world where people live. There too, in the same environment, some can sing while others moan and others rejoice. But now the sun said, "We must go even further down together." And I had the feeling that it was getting darker and darker. It was a darkness that cannot be described. The little flame lit our way. Suddenly the sun said, "Now we are at the right place." I lifted up this little flame and looked at the surroundings. Then I noticed that there were siblings here. They were alone and in groups, bound to a very specific place. Some were crouched close together as if they wanted to warm themselves, the others were lying far apart. And when I shone this little light in their faces, I also saw their dissatisfied faces. But the moment they saw my son, they became a little more alert and first they asked, "Do you have a message for us? Are you bringing us salvation today?" And the son said, "No, I am not bringing salvation, I have come to comfort you." Then he introduced me and said, "This is my father, he is helping me to comfort you." So my son tried to find good words for them. But then I asked each of them individually, "What have you done to be here?" And they told me quite openly what they had done. One had killed another had spent his life stealing everything, another had tortured his fellow human beings in a horrible way, so they were all quite open, nobody made a secret of what they had done on earth. Then I said to them, "Yes, that is the result, it is your own fault that you are here. If you had lived differently, you would not be here. It serves you right, now you must earn your punishment here." Well, they were naturally disappointed by my words. I had not realized that I had not comforted these poor, unfortunate people with these words. My son would then interrupt the conversation and give words of encouragement. He told them to remain brave and continue to ask God for forgiveness. They had to turn inward, then the hour of liberation would come, they should endure and trust in God. So my son then tried to sing a song with them, and I noticed that he had already started singing with them earlier. He did this to make their situation a little easier. But I had the feeling that this was unnecessary, and I made this clear to my son. "You don't sing with people like that," I said, "they themselves are to blame for their situation. Let's move on, let them be." And my son rebuked me or said to me, "Here you can't use the same words with your neighbor as you did on earth. We can only win them over with love, only by showing them understanding will they find their way to us and learn to understand that we want to help them. You won't achieve anything if you can't approach them with love and understanding." And then my son explained to me, "You will be reprimanded, father, if you don't adopt a different attitude. Remember, you are in the other world. You could talk to us like that when we were your children on earth. But here you can't do that anymore. Here you work for God and you have to learn to think and speak differently." My son knew all about it, because, as he told me, he had also been taught by someone else. Of course, I found it difficult to accept that, because I was used to always making my point of view clear, to defending my ideas. And so at first I just couldn't understand that others also had an opinion and that a different opinion could also be right. It was very difficult for me to understand that at first. But I immediately asked my son, "Are we soon going to get out of this darkness?" I don't want to stay here. No, you don't understand it, father, he said. Come, we must go further. You see, there are so many here, raise your lamp and you will see the unfortunate ones. And I said it again to him, yes, it cost us effort to live as we did, and it is their own fault that they are now in this misery. Now we went to another place that my son had to visit, but then I noticed that it was not just us who were here and had to comfort these brothers and sisters, but there were other brothers and sisters there who also carried a little light with them. There was even a divine being there who did not need a little flame like we do. Instead, his robe, his hands, his whole face gave off such a light that the whole area was illuminated. I saw that too. Now my son said to me, come, father, go on, go on, I still have some that I have to visit and comfort. And I said to him, you know the way well, I wouldn't find it, I wouldn't know the way in and out, and I wouldn't find the way back either. When you have been here a few times, he said, you will find the way to them and the way out again. I didn't think about it, I just followed my son. Then we came to a place where there was a pond. In the middle of this pond was a large stone. On this stone were a small number of siblings. They were not allowed to move away from this stone, so they were not allowed to walk through the water to the bank. The pond didn't seem to be very deep, because I had the impression that it was more mud than water. We should now go near these siblings. The son explained to me, you see, there is a path there, we will then walk along it to them on this stone, and we will talk to them. But first I must count them to see if they are all together. And then he noticed that one was missing. He had left his place and crossed the path. He had tried to find his way out of this distress, although he was forbidden to leave the stone, the place to which he was bound, and yet the path was open. I thought, if they are already locked up and bound like this, they could have taken away this path or this little bridge, then they would not be able to escape. But my son replied, you don't do that, because they must learn to be obedient. They never knew obedience in their lives, they only knew violence. Now they too are being held by force. A certain freedom is there, but they are not allowed to use this freedom, leaving the stone is punishable. The son now saw the one who had left his place, he could not escape. My son went to him and I went with him, and he said, brother, why did you break your obedience? Why did you run away again? Don't you know that you are only prolonging your suffering by your disobedience? This brother was very unhappy, he said he couldn't stand it, he couldn't breathe, life was terrible for him and he wanted to kill himself. Then my son explained to him, you can't kill yourself, you are already dead, as you think, you are already dead. Here is eternal life, you cannot destroy yourself, but you cannot run away either. But I said to him, what are you thinking of breaking your obedience? You are under God's rule. Don't you know that God has the power to punish you even more? And while I was speaking to him in my zeal, my son took him by the arm and led him carefully back along this path. I did not want to go along this path, I did not like it. But my son called me over and said, come, father, you must get to know them, because you will have to go to them many times. Oh dear, I thought and was already considering whether I could not tell this leading spirit that he might offer me a different task than this. Why should I have to go to these unfortunate people and why should my son, who did not deserve it at all? And I also said this to my son, why do we have to deal with them? We deserve a better life. Can we not then do our service to others in that world where we are placed? Can we not then look to the right there? And my son said, you, father, do not have to look to the right. God looks to the right. And he began to pray with this group. And I was amazed, they were all folding their hands, they were all kneeling and stretching their hands up and praying. I also knelt down, as my son did, and I placed my little flame next to his. Now my son said to them, is there anything you can do for you that is in my power? And they all cried out in chorus, free us. Make sure that we be freed from this distress. And he just said, my father and I will pray for you. I was astonished, I should pray for them. I thought that people would pray for the poor souls. And now that we are in the kingdom of God ourselves, we must pray for them too? My son took me by the arm and said, "Here we have fulfilled our task for the moment." And we left.